Good morning. Today I'm stood at a footpath. It's pretty hidden footpath, nothing particularly special, but I am in between. You might be able to hear in the background the traffic, but also ahead of me there's birdsong. And there's a winding puddle-lit path down to what I know is something a little bit more special. So I'm going to follow the blue tits and the blackbirds that are just darting between the bare hedgerow here. And I'm going to take you on a walk. It's a walk near my home, and I really hope you enjoy it. I've just walked a few meters down the path, and I'm stood on a little bridge, a little stone bridge that crosses over and continues onto the path we're going to follow. But I wanted to stop here for a while just so you can hear the water. The water to the right of me is churned up. It's brown and full of the depths of this river, all churned up. To the left, it's a lot slower, or at least it feels that way, but the wind's taking it quite fast. The sun is that hazy winter light that comes, which is good because we haven't had a lot of sun lately. It's been rain. And from here I can see the old factory, which is the Fox's factory, where they made cloth. It's a really, really big abandoned building now. And this little river fed its dye works at one point, which are further down. But I'm going to share that a little bit more with you in a later podcast. For now, let's get walking. Let's get through these puddles and head off into the countryside. I'm just about to walk up to the first gate. There's a male blackbird on there, tail fanned. And he's just flitted off. It's quite wet underfoot, as you can hear. And this is the little gate. It's made of iron, and there's ivy growing up over it, which I love. And there's a squeaking of trees rubbing together in the wind. This really is where the town is left behind, and I've stepped out into the fields. Well, that's how it feels for me anyway. This pathway now runs all the way along through the bottom of a small hillside where the fields reach down and touch the edges of the path. So we're gonna open the gate and head through. And I really should have pulled my trousers up before I started doing this. I'll do it now. Oh, that's nice. The cold puddle water running down my legs into my wellies, because I'm never one for making life easy. I don't usually wear wellies, They are not my choice of foot material, but needs must. As I said, we've had a whole lot of rain, and I know that this pathway can get very wet, and I'm expecting to come up against that in a minute. You can hear magpies in next to me. It's quite a forgotten, overgrown woodland area. You can't actually get into it. It's almost encased by brambles, like some kind of fairy tale. I'm always amazed in winter by the amount of birdsong you can hear. That little trilling robin and the laughing magpie. It's just moments like that on days where it's felt like never-ending rain that really pick you up. Okay, well, I've lost the path to what is now a temporary river. And I'm just hoping my wellies are long enough to get through. We shall see. It's blue skies today and big fluffy white clouds that look like cotton wool suspended in the sky. And to the left of me, the fields are all running quite freely, and the hedgerows just hugging them up along the sides. And I can see the next gate, and usually after the gate is the bit that's most flooded. And considering I've just walked through what I'm hoping you can hear, oh, I'm a little bit concerned about walking through this. But it's January. What do you expect? It's going to be wet. It's going to be muddy. But if we want to get out, we've got to get through it, haven't we? Let's have a look. Hello, little robin. Are you telling me it's not a good idea? Well, I'm going to do it anyway. Right, let's go through. And the reason this is so flooded, I shall explain to you in a minute. Because it has very good reason. Now, this water is now somewhere in between ankle and knee, and considering I have the shortest legs in the world, I think for now I'm going to pause the podcast, because if I don't concentrate I'm going to end up a kelpie. So I shall be back. We've made it. Made it through the water, and I don't know if you heard that bird call whilst I was at the gate there. That kind of sorrowful sound is a bullfinch, and we don't really ever get them in the garden, but I always see them down here where the hedgerows have kind of been left to be those big wide hedgerows that we don't really have anymore, but that the bullfinches love. So I like to call this little place Bullfinch Bush, which I am aware sounds like the name of a road on a new build housing estate or something, but it doesn't look like that. It looks absolutely stunning down here, even though it's flooded. So the field I've just walked into is the Tone, where the River Tone flows down alongside I've swum in here. I've watched water voles in here, kingfishers. I know there are otters here. But today, it's halfway across the field, and I don't think I'd want to go too close. So we're gonna trudge off through the field and up into a little part of this walk that I adore because it's absolutely full of memory. So I've just popped up out of the small field below with the River Tone and onto a mound that from down by the river you can't see this mound because you can see that it goes up, but the thick hedgerow kind of hides it. And when you step up, there's a noticeable difference. It almost looks like somebody's decided to have a go at lino cutting the land. There's a groove down through the middle and it winds as if a river once stood here. It's very flat bottomed, goes up at the edges. It's like somebody's dug a long thin pond and never filled it in. And it meanders off into where we've just come from. And the reason it's here and the reason it's full of memory is because it was once part of the Grand Western Canal, which does sound, as the name suggests, very grand indeed. This canal ran between Taunton in Somerset and Tiverton in Devon, and it was a link to the Bristol Channel. This was in the days of transportation, when transportation was a bit slower and we relied, I should say, on these waterways, what they gave us. But along with the trains and the ability to move things much faster came the demise of most of our canals. So in 1867, this section was closed. And now it sounds like this. You feel when you walk along the path above the cutout that you're walking on the footpath, the towpath. You could imagine the horses here pulling the barges. But now it's not here. And it's kind of bittersweet because I do love a canal and I like to imagine what it would have been like. But there's something really beautiful about the fact that it's still kind of been left, this memory. It's not a scar. It doesn't feel like a scar on the land. It feels organic, even though it's not. And I really like being here. There's something very slow. There's something deeply intense. And it makes you feel like you don't have to rush. And I wonder if that's the remains of what used to happen here. So I'm going to carry on walking because where I'm headed to is one of the places where it's probably, alongside where we've just been, the most obvious place that there was something here before. And I love it there. And I can't get enough of it. So I'm hoping to take you there. But along the way, there's a couple of little places I'd like to stop and show you. we've just been joined on our walk by the rain. It's just started. So I'm going to pop my hood up, although it doesn't really cover my head. You can see I'm well prepared today. And continue. I know that January can be really hard for some people. As you can hear, it's windy. I'm hoping you can still hear me above that. It's rainy. It's dark. Some people might say dreary. And I totally get that. It's hard. It's really hard to push through these things. Especially when you're not necessarily a winter person. But I've been thinking about that a lot, which is why I wanted to do the podcast today. It seemed a strange time to begin a podcast. For those of you who have stuck with me for a little while now, here comes the rain, let's go under a bush. You'll know that I actually did a couple of episodes of a podcast before. And I'm not going to go into why I stopped. I did think about explaining it, but I don't need to anymore. I let it lie. I let it go to winter. I let it winter over. I let my thoughts, my anger, if I'm honest, my fear, my unconfidence, my lack of self-worth, I let them go to winter. And I felt them. I let them blow me like an icy wind so that I felt them keenly. Because there's no point in ignoring these feelings. It only grows them. And I do feel like a lot of those feelings have been absorbed by that winter I let happen. That the soil has taken it on and hopefully it will create something really beautiful from it. So I'm hoping that perhaps that creation of something beautiful is this podcast that I'm going to continue to do. I must admit that for a while I thought I would feed it into something else, perhaps paintings or sculptures. And then it occurred to me that no, you feed it back into the thing that you were scared of. And I didn't like that thought. And I'm still not sure I'm completely confident with that thought. But I'm here and I'm going to do it anyway. And it might be that this is utter tripe. It might be that nobody wants to listen to it. But I'm going to do it because it's my winter. And winter is time to sieve out all those little things, the little nuggets of gold that really matter. So, with that in mind, I'm going to carry on. It's a little way to go, and then we'll sit together at the end, and hopefully I'll be able to explain some of what I'm seeing to you. But for now, the rains really want me to just push on through. I don't know if you can hear that. So now's a good time to pause, make a cup of tea, and come back. Now this is the point where I feel like I'm there. It's quite noisy today. But that's because we are under a bridge, or just about to go under a bridge. I've just taken a moment because a flock of goldfinches were in the field that we've just walked alongside that's full of knapweed and thistle. It's very, very boggy. I think it's owned by people that have left it to rewild slightly. So that's the kind of thing that thrives here, which feeds the goldfinches. They love it. There is a spring next to me that's just coming out of the earth, running down through into that field. and there's quite a bit of farming going on around. I can see sheep and crows walking along the field and cars passing overhead. So I absolutely cannot tell you how much I love this spot. This house for me is a dream. I think it may have once been an old toll house, and the bridge we're passing under is where the barges would have passed. It's low and feels very, very old, very unused. It's dripping all the way down along inside, and the green has run down the stonework. There's ivy kind of creeping all the way along the top of the bridge. And what I love most about this bridge is when you pass through it, you're actually going straight into this house's garden, because the canal used to run through the garden, which was what makes me think it must have been the toll house. And I love that. I love that the people that live here, I know it's a public right of way, but they welcome people, and you can see that they do. They tidy the path. Their garden is beautiful. You almost feel like you need to donate something. Because this is the kind of garden you would go and visit. And we're gonna head. Yes, crow. Oh, and I've just seen a bird of prey. What is that? That is a sparrowhawk. A sparrowhawk has just flown out, which is probably why that crow was telling me something. And now all the small birds are going nuts in the tree above. And what is that in the bramble before we pass underneath? That is a pheasant carcass. That's interesting. It's probably about 6 foot up in the brambles. Maybe it's even been chucked over the bridge. So yeah, we're going to pass under this bridge and through the garden. I would do that now. A wooden stile to go over. They like wooden stiles around here. And you can hear that cavernous sound in here. In the bridge is all full of old tiles, actually. Maybe from the house, and an old sleeper, wooden sleeper. And there's a little blue flower growing. I want to say it's a periwinkle, but flowers aren't my forte, so don't take my word for it. Now the path runs through the garden, and there's an old apple tree, absolutely full of rotten apples all over the floor, and it's covered in lichen with little bits of mistletoe. And mistletoe is spread through the birds. They eat the berries, and the seeds come out in their droppings, and the seeds are sticky, so they stick to the branches. And they particularly seem to favour apple trees. I don't know if it's a symbiotic relationship. But all I can hear right now are starlings. Now we're coming up to where the water from the place we're going to visit meets the River Tone that we've walked alongside the whole way. And it meets in this lovely garden. And normally we pass the cutest little stone bridge that's probably about 2 foot long, and there's a great big tree stump next to it that's all covered in this emerald green moss, and then the water spills out, not usually as fast as this, into some kind of little fairy pool that cascades down in. It's such a tiny little stream, but the amount of water we've had, the bridge is underwater. It's still passable, so I'm going to pass it and walk up the stone steps and over the wooden stile. into the nature reserve that we're visiting. We are at Roomead Nature Reserve, which is part of the Somerset Wildlife Trust, and here you can really feel the canal. Basically, it's a big wetland, grassland, species-rich habitat, and the canal runs down through the middle of the field. It's not really a canal. You could just about fit a barge through here now, but you wouldn't be able to start it from very far or get it very far. It only runs half the length of this field, which isn't very far at all. And it's surrounded at the moment by sedge grass, tussocks. It's hard to walk on this land. It's murky and it's changeable, but it's glorious as well. As you cross that little stone bridge, you come up to a wooden post, and that's where I like to hang out because you look down through the canal and the farmland just kind of reaches down. It's quite high, the farmland. It reaches down and touches it, and the light that plays across those hills is spectacular. The birds love it here. It is full of little birds. It's very, very peaceful. Not a lot of people walk here, but I like to come here quite often. One of the things that Roomead boasts is its amazing array of plant life. And I mentioned that plant life isn't necessarily my specialism, but I do love seeing it. And that's what matters. That's what inspires and makes us want to learn. And there's a lot of plant life here. Some of the names of them, I often think, are like something out of a Tim Burton film. There's bog stitchwort, water dropwort, marsh orchid, and wild angelica, and that's just a few. Loosestrife as well. I love that. I love the names given to these plants. They feel like old names. They feel like names with soul and meaning. And yeah, I give them characters. Maybe that's just the storyteller or the artist in me. But bog stitchwort, come on, he's got to be a little dude that lives under these tussocks and he's not too happy. And he gets fed up. He gets fed up of the visiting frogs and the happy little tadpoles in the spring. And that's what my brain does. I go off on tangents. I think it is the storyteller, the artist in me. I want to make up these places. When I come here and sit here, I imagine a different life. But I also can feel what's happening right now. The other things this place likes to hold, likes to give life to, are, as I've mentioned, the frogs and the toads. In the spring here, the frogs that you hear, it is absolutely full of them, being so wet. We've got all the species of newts here. There's dragonflies. I've sat here and watched a kingfisher many times. I've just seen a kestrel fly out from the trees next to me. And I know that there are otter here. So it's full of life. And yet when you come here, it just has this sense that it's peace and that you really have to sit here for a while to feel what's going on. That felt like the right place to come now for January. I did think about this. I thought it would be very wet. I thought it might not be very interesting to hear. January is often quiet. But this place requires patience, trust, solitude, all the things that I kind of associate with this month. And we spoke a little bit about wintering earlier. And then as I was walking here, I was thinking, January, it's the bones. It's the bones of the season. They can feel hollow and cold to touch. We saw that pheasant carcass. It didn't look pretty. It looked gruesome. And it looked used up. But in our bones, we have marrow. And marrow is sustenance and fat rich and well fed. So what within our bones could we feed upon? What could we turn around? I turned around my fears for this podcast. It may have taken, maybe, I don't even want to say 2 years. But I'm going to feed on that now and hopefully put it into this. There is so much emphasis at this time of year about picking up new things. What are you going to start? Are you going to start a diet? Are you going to start an exercise regime? Are you going to see more people? Are you going to put yourself out there more? But I prefer to think about what I'm going to put down. What bones am I going to lay down? What bones are heavy that I don't want anymore? What do I want, but I'd quite like for the weather to shape a little bit? I feel it's really not the time of year to be picking things up. It's winter. It's about finding the jewels, the bits we want to keep. So that's what I'm going to do. Do you want to join me in that? Is there something you would like to lay down? Maybe that's something to think about. You don't have to carry it all. So I'm going to sit here for a while. Although I'm thinking a lot about a coffee. And then I'm going to walk back. It's nearly 3 miles to get here. We walked today, so it'll be the same home. And I'm so, so glad you came with me today. It's been really nice and really comfortable. And I feel like I've had company. Perhaps we'll return to Roomead again and see it change. It might be nice to see how those things we've laid down change and shift in this special place as the year goes on. So thank you. Thank you for waiting, for being patient for this podcast. As always, you can support me via Ko-fi if you want to support this podcast. It's not something I do for pay, but support does really help. So there'll be a Ko-fi link in the post of the podcast that you can find. And if there's anybody you think might like a little walk outside, then please do feel free to share it. But for now, as always, it's much love and magic from me, and I'll see you next time.